Next week, the Supreme Court will hear arguments in former President Trump's controversial claim that he's immune from prosecution on charges that he tried to overturn the 2020 election. It's the second case this term bearing on Trump and the election, and we'll be following arguments and the court's decision.
But for a few minutes, let's go back to the last time the Supreme Court took up a defining election case. You will recall that was the year 2000. That election was too close to call, and after weeks of court challenges and recounts, the High Court decided the case, Bush v. Gore.
The presidential election is over. George Bush prevails by one vote in the Supreme Court. Al Gore prepares to concede. The High Court.
That was Peter Jennings of ABC News World News Tonight. And we want to go back and look at that explosive case and where we go now. Joan Biskupic is CNN Senior Supreme Court Analyst. Joan, welcome to Here Now.
Great to be with you, Scott.
Oh, listening to that audio, it's all coming back, and I'm exhausted once again, having helped cover that as you did. Take us back to, oh my goodness, 24 years ago, November of 2000, the AP first called the state of Florida. Those were the key electoral votes, of course, for George W. Bush. It would have meant he won. Vice President Gore called him to concede, and then he called him back and took back the concession as the counting continued. Tell us about the outlines of the legal back and forth immediately following that.
Sure. It all came down to the state of Florida, because that night, Florida was uncertain, and it had a crucial 25 electoral votes, and whoever was going to get those electoral votes was going to win. So immediately, all sorts of ballot disputes began. Dozens of lawyers from each side began flying into Florida. And there were 36 days of litigation that culminated at the Supreme Court on December 12th. The issue in the end was whether the standards for recounts were fair. And as anyone who remembers, you know, some of the visuals and the sound from back then, they'll remember the hanging chads. And those were little scraps of paper that would not quite be severed from the punch ballots. And election workers down in Florida would be holding up those punch cards to the light to see, was that a vote for George W. Bush or a vote for then Vice President Al Gore? And the Florida Secretary of State went ahead while all this litigation was going on and certified a mere 537 vote margin for George Bush out of 6 million votes cast. That's how close it was. So the Florida Supreme Court ordered various county recounts. The Bush team wants that 537 vote win sealed in
cement.
Right,
don't recount it. Just lock that in place.
Yes, exactly. So they appealed to the Supreme Court to try to get the recounts cut off. And that's what happened in the end. In the end, the Supreme Court, by an even narrower vote of 5-4, ruled that the recount procedures did not meet minimal constitutional standards. They said essentially that they violated equal protection and due process guarantees, but the justices, the five Republican appointees, were ruling for George Bush. In dissent were the four liberal justices. And if you don't mind, I'll just paraphrase something from John Paul Stevens in dissent. Mm-hmm. He said, although we may never know with certainty who really won this election, the identity of the loser is clear, and that's the nation's confidence in the judge as an impartial guardian of the rule of law. So, and lots of reverberations for years afterward, Scott.
Yeah. Well, how do you, Joan, think about now 24 years on that statement? Was that prescient, do you think?
I think it was. And I also think in the moment, 24 years ago, I thought the country could never be in such turmoil again. But right now, we are more polarized than we were before. You know, just think of how much confirmation hearings for Supreme Court justices have gotten, more conflict-ridden. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Justices are now approved by one or two votes rather than the appointees that we had back in 2000. You know, things were much more lopsided. And I never thought that things would get have more turmoil in election year, but that's what we have now.
As time has gone by, several justices from then have spoken about this. The late Justice Sandra Day O'Connor back then was a, or the, swing vote on the High Court. Years after she retired, she expressed some misgivings. She told the Chicago Tribune that maybe the court should have said, we're not going to take it. Goodbye. Talk about her role in Bush v. Gore and that statement.
Well, she was crucial. They needed her vote. She helped craft the final majority opinion. And she didn't like what the Florida Supreme Court had done. And she also felt that there was so much chaos building down in Florida. And in fact, you know, some of the visuals of people descending on the county canvassing boards as they were recounting, that bothered her. And frankly, some of George W. Bush's allies down there wanted to present a lot of chaos, knowing how someone like Justice O'Connor would react. And indeed, she felt like it was a role that the court had to take. But at the very end, that comment from her is exactly right, that she just wished it had not come up there. And I have to say, she ended up voting much more to the left after that whole incident. I think she had just a lot of regrets, but she was not the kind of person who would express deep regrets. She would just say, now I'm moving forward.
Yeah. Well, we have a little bit of sound from other justices. Stephen Breyer, no longer on the high court, has said he didn't think the court should have taken the case either. He recently spoke to NBC News, and he talked about his opinion that day.
I wrote they shouldn't have taken it up. That's what I thought about Bush v. Gore. I said they shouldn't have taken up the opinion, and now having taken it up, I think they should decide it the other way. That was my view.
And we also have sound from the late Justice Antonin Scalia on the right. He spoke about Bush v. Gore on CNN back in 2012, and he said he had no regrets about the case.
My court didn't bring the case into the court. It was brought into the courts by Al Gore. He is the one who wanted courts to decide the question.
So his side prevailed. The other great line from Justice Scalia was, get over it.
Get over it. I mean, as far as the get over it, the court as an institution, whether it's the relationships among the justices, among their clerks, because I read it was quite a poison relationship after this happened. Where is that relationship now?
You know, I think that you're exactly right to remind people of how bitterly divided the justices were, how angry the law clerks were. Thousands of letters poured into the Supreme Court. You know, the country didn't get over it. For at least a decade after Bush v. Gore, anyone who was nominated to the Supreme Court was asked about that case. And I have to say, the court of the year 2000 was made up of people who got along much better than this current court does get along. This current court is more divided. As we know, it was sealed with three Trump appointees, and that now conservative supermajority has been able to do much more on the law, move it much further to the right than the court in 2000 was able to do. And I think what we still have is certainly a lot of national angst because of rolling back Roe v. Wade in the year 2022.
And we've seen the polls, the public perception of the Supreme Court as an institution. The poll numbers are very low. Do you connect that, even perhaps with dotted lines, to Bush v. Gore in 2000?
I think that's part of it. I think that some more recent events have certainly accelerated public disapproval of the Supreme Court. You know, cases in which they've rolled back decades-old precedent certainly doesn't inspire confidence. And then also, I have to, again, mention Donald Trump. He has acted as if judges and justices who he appoint somehow are beholden to him. And even though the current nine would certainly reject that, I think they are aware of the increased scrutiny.
And just going forward with these two cases that connect to former President Trump, again, this perception question, do you sense that all the justices, to some degree, will have this perception or this cloud in mind as they think about these big constitutional questions? We do know that three justices were on Team Bush. Yeah, back in 2000.
That's exactly right.
Roberts, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett.
Brett Kavanaugh was actually someone who would go on the air and defend George Bush's strategy. I think they were, you know, when they stepped back, they realized that the country believed that it was the court that ended up deciding the election. The current case, the Colorado ballot case, and then this upcoming one on whether the president can be immune from criminal trial, that case is not going to actually decide the election, but it will influence the election because of the timing of a trial. And I think that the justices obviously will try to decide things based on the law, but they know that they are under unprecedented scrutiny themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, one other thing, Scott.
Yes.
Can I just add?
Yeah, please.
The Bush v. Gore case began on Election Day, November 7th, back in 2000. Remember how much more is to come in the season we're in. There could be other cases that come up. And now we know that Election Day doesn't end, you know, the conflict. You know, it could be through the certification in Congress, as it happened with January 6, 2021. Who knows how many more opportunities the court will have to steer who wins the 2024 contest.
We've been talking to Joan Biskupic, CNN's senior Supreme Court analyst, looking back at 2020 Bush v. Gore and what it means today. Joan, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Scott.
And Joan's book is Nine Black Rows, Inside the Supreme Court's Drive to the Right and Its Historic Consequences. It's out in paperback today.